The Fed's watching the economy, and a lot of folks are watching the Fed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, the Federal Reserve Board meets to take a closer look at the economy and to make some decisions about monetary policy. Investors are keeping tabs because they think there could be a little foreshadowing of future moves, such as when stimulus measures will wind down or when interest rates will go up. Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us from our Washington studio with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So what are some of the things these Fed watchers are looking out for?
You know, they pore over these statements that the Fed includes with its interest rate announcements almost word for word for clues. For a while now, the Fed's been telegraphing that their interest rates are going to stay essentially at zero for, quote, an extended period. That's generally thought to mean, 6 months or so. The first sign that the Fed thinks that the economy is generating its own momentum and doesn't need this stimulus of low interest rates is likely to be when they take that phrase, extended period, out of the statement.
And could that be today, John?
Well, in the speeches that Fed members have been giving recently, they still talk about how fragile the recovery is. That means that the majority of the panel is probably not ready to change the signal. But there is a growing sense among Fed watchers that the next meeting, the end of April, just might be the time when the group takes the phrase out of the statement, telling the markets that the economy is strengthening and it's time for higher rates.
And what does the Fed look for as far as signals of economic strength?
Well, job creation would be the prime indicator of a recovery. They also watch factory output and bank lending. Inflation is the real thing to fear. So far, there's no sign that retailers and wholesalers are able to raise their prices. And that's giving the Fed some room to keep interest rates low, at least for the time being.
Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reporting this morning from D.C. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
The oil cartel OPEC tomorrow decides how much oil its members can pump over the next half year. Because the global recession slowed energy use, OPEC slashed production at the end of 2008. But despite some push and pull between oil-rich countries, few expect more crude to be produced anytime soon. From London, Christopher Worth has more.
A growing divide is opening up within OPEC over whether to boost production as the global economy tries to get back on track. Poorer members like Angola, Nigeria, and Venezuela want to close their big national budget deficits by expanding oil production. Nick McGregor is with stockbrokers Redmayne Bentley. He says balancing supply and demand isn't easy.
OPEC has learned a fairly brutal lesson in the last couple of years that they do have to balance price or they will kill off the goose that laid the golden egg. And so others, such as the Saudis, take a more balanced view that they'd rather see oil prices as high as they can possibly be, but only if it doesn't actually start to crimp demand in America and Europe and so on.
And with oil prices hovering near $80 a barrel, some OPEC members, like the Saudis, are happy for production levels to stay where they are. McGregor says we shouldn't expect any sea change in prices at the pumps until we get further economic growth, or alternately, signs that the economy might be headed into a double-dip recession. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
European stocks are on the rise right now. That's despite a European Union pledge to come to Greece's rescue. Shares are up an average of 0.75% on the continent. In Asia, markets were mixed today. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P was flat. The Nasdaq lost a few points. And the Dow gained a few, 17 points to be exact, to close at 10,642. Now, investors will be keeping an eye on Commerce Department numbers released today on February housing starts. If a sluggish builder sentiment report released yesterday is any indication, oh, it could be a downer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world, the revival of smart begins at HBR.org. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
The South by Southwest Conference is underway deep in the heart of Texas in Austin this week. The yearly gathering has become a must for people in the music, film, and the technology industries. Now, this year, there's a new addition to the technology portion. It's a jobs booth. And as Marketplace web producer Melissa Kaplan reports, these days there are a lot of people stopping by.
Andrea Moya is an unemployed web editor from New York. She came to South by Southwest this year to find a job.
Let's see what this is. Lynda.com, near Santa Barbara. I'm nowhere near Santa Barbara.
Moya scans help-wanted postings at the career booth in a crowded exhibition hall at the Austin Convention Center. About 200 companies have tacked up open positions. Robin Cohn is among the volunteers staffing the booth.
We've got about, you know, usually like 5 or 10 people in the booth at any given time looking for jobs. Quite a few of them have taking notes and taking down information on their telephones.
South by Southwest organizers created the career booth as a way to formalize the networking that happens organically at the conference. For tech industry recruiters, the jobs booth is a potential gold mine. Molly Auer works for the Star Group, an ad agency in Philadelphia.
Well, this is a conference that brings in the best of the best in all of technology, so I'm hoping some of those people might be interested in coming to Philly and working for the Star Group.
Web editor Moya is hoping to stay in New York and is using the jobs booth to find out what companies are looking for.
I think it's understood that everybody's here trying to make connections and meet people that will eventually get them somewhere career-wise.
And if she strikes out on a job, at least she can stick around for a good show. The music portion of the conference kicks off Wednesday. In Austin, I'm Melissa Kaplan for Marketplace.
And finally, a decision's coming soon in a naming battle in Northern California. The LA Times says the U.S. Board on Geographic Names will decide whether to change a local landmark from Mount Diablo to Mount Reagan. A Bay Area man finds Diablo, Spanish for devil, to be offensive. Others chimed in saying they find the name Reagan to be offensive. Now, recently, the board rejected a suggestion to name a Utah rock formation, the Golden Arches, after McDonald's. And it didn't interfere with one Kansas town changing its name to Trails View for economic reasons. It had been Spasticville. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Get the podcast while you're there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.